Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of a day for the 11th of Av, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, on some questions of heating food on Shabbat. It's sort of it's a tshuva in Minchat Shlomo, and it's a collection of things he wrote on various dates. So one of those dates is from the 11th of Av in Tavshin Chet. But there's a couple of them that we'll see, and they raise various issues about heating food on a Shabbat or for Shabbat, leaving them. And so these are just some common issues that come up, and I thought it'd be interesting to see Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's perspective on these issues, especially since Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Alav HaShalom, or Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was the consulting authority for Rav Neuwirth when he wrote Shmirat Shabbat Kehilchata, which has become a standard work on how to keep Shabbat. And an important one and a really valuable one, and he would tend to look to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach for answers on questions that would arise. So this is from Shut Minchat Shlomo Tinyana, the second edition or the a later thing, Galakim Bet and Gimel, Siman Yud Bet, response number 12. The first of them is not from the 11th of Av, it's from the 5th of Av in Tavshin Chet, which is 1948, so this is soon after the establishment of the State of Israel. And he is writing to the Tzitz Eliezer, Eliezer Yehuda Waldenberg, who had published Tzitz Eliezer. So in 1948, Tzitz Eliezer is 32, and Rav Shlomo Zalman is 6 years older than that. And the question is whether we have to worry about hagasa, about stirring a pot that you left on a fire. So this is from the 5th of Av of 1948, and just a couple of paragraphs, we'll see another discussion from the 11th of Av. From the 5th of Av one, he says, I've seen your Sefer Tzitz Eliezer, and I saw that you rule, meaning Rav Waldenberg, that Tzitz Eliezer had ruled, that it was impermissible to Erev Shabbat on Friday to leave a pot on a flame, and we'll get to the flame in a second, but it's got food in it that's either completely not cooked, that's called a kederach, it's completely not cooked, so therefore it's a kederach chaita, and that we think in certain halachic situations allows us to leave it because we're not worried that a person will try to get it to cook faster because they know it won't cook in the intervening time. So that's one possibility for why one would think one was allowed to, or that it was cooked, but only partially cooked. It was cooked kima'achal ben drosai. Ma'achal ben drosai is a standard, in the time of the Gemara, it was a standard of certain robbers who would eat their food even though it was less cooked than for most of us, because they were always running and they were always worried about the authorities. And so it's called the ma'achal ben drosai. It's usually assumed to be, I think, about a third of what a full cooking would be. So it's basically cooking to the point where it's just barely edible, where people who aren't so refined would be willing to eat it. And that has a lot of ramifications as well. The complication in this situation was you weren't only going to leave those foods on the fire, but you're going to leave it on an electric oven or an electric hot plate or something like that, which is not now hot. It is going to light on Shabbos. So this was a question that came up already back then and continues to be a question in our day. If I have the ability to leave food somewhere, and when I leave it there, there's no cooking going on because it's not on, but it's going to go on Shabbat, what are the rules of that? So the Tzitz Eliezer apparently had, this is what stimulated Rav Shlomo Zalman to respond, had said you can't do that, and the reason he said it was you're worried that the person on Shabbat will be magis, that he will stir the food. And in stirring the food, I think that the main worry is that there's going to be some cooking that will go on by virtue of the stirring of the food, and therefore we don't allow stirring food in that way on Shabbat. So Shlomo Zalman says, I have problems with this issue. I'm not sure. I saw a certain book of responsa that it said that if you have a kira grufa uktuma, so grufa uktuma are things that lead to our practice of having like a blech on fires, over fires. Grufa uktuma in the time of the Gemara when you had actual flames, so grufa uktuma were ways to make sure that one wouldn't try to stoke the coals, stoke the flames over Shabbat. One way was to remove all the coals and just to rely on the leftover heat. Another way was to cover it over fully enough that people wouldn't do it. And that's where the blech comes from in our ovens. If you put a blech over the fire, we'll see some comments by Rav Shlomo Zalman about blechs in a minute. But if you leave a blech, a covering on the fire, we hope and think that's good enough to remind people not to adjust the flame on Shabbat. That's why some people hold the blech should cover the dials rather than just the flame, because that will really remind them. And some people will say that if people use a hot plate, that they should ideally be using a cover on the dial of the hot plate or a hot plate that's not adjustable, so that so that the fire becomes gufa or ktuma. once an oven is gufa uktima, the flame has been covered in the appropriate way, there we say that one is allowed to leave it from Erev Shabbat, even though the cooking just started and didn't reach machal ben drosai. So that's what the first tshuva said. Then Rabbi Akiva Eger had comment on that. He's not sure that that's true, because there are those poskim who hold that even if it's gufa uktima, even if the flame has been taken care of, you're not allowed to leave it on the fire if it's started cooking but is not yet cooked machal ben drosai. And the worry is shema yagis, the person might stir the food. Rabbi Akiva Eger has a discussion of that in his glosses on the Mishnah, but Rosh Lomazan points out that the whole conversation, everybody seems to agree that once food reaches machal ben drosai, that means that it has been cooked on a d'oraita level, since it is now edible for some people, since there are people who, not that they want to, but if they had to, would eat it, such as these robbers of the ben drosai. There it doesn't seem to be a problem of leaving it on a fire because of the worry that you might stir it, because it's already reached the machal ben drosai. If that's true, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, according to the custom, that people put a piece of bread on the oven, they put a covering on the flames so that it makes it like tuma, like kituma, like it's covered like a blech. Then he doesn't know why, if you have it becomes like a oven that is covered over. And there he says he thinks that once it reaches machal ben drosai, he's not sure why you couldn't leave it there, because the fact that the oven's going to be lit afterward doesn't seem to make a difference to him, because he thinks that even if it was lit right now, it wouldn't be a problem. So theoretically, and we don't, I'm just doing this tshuva, and I don't have the space, because Rosh Hashanah has a bunch of things to say, to go back and check to see the Ezra's response or ideas about this. But theoretically, one could say that the fact that it's going to turn on later would mean that by the time it turns on, it might have cooled down. And since it might have cooled down, that's where we have to worry again about stirring it. Rosh Hashanah is not assuming that at all. Rosh Hashanah is saying, since I could leave it on actual fire now, we wouldn't worry about Hagasah, because it's already Machal ben Drosai. They're here too. I shouldn't have to worry about it. That's where this discussion seems to be going. Not only that, he quotes a sefer called Tifer Yushalayim, which is a sefer published in Tuf Resh Ayin Gimel, which is 1913, by Shraga Feivel Reisenman, whom I couldn't find anything about, but a sefer that clearly Shlomo Zalman and Mr. Zaleser knew and seemed to have respected. He said he explains there that with food, we don't worry about Hagasa, about stirring, even when it's not cooked, as long as the flame is covered over, even when it's not cooked, machal ben drosai. So this seems to have been like some kind of a solid food, and therefore you shouldn't have had that worry, it seems like. In any case, he therefore says he doesn't understand why he, and also it turns out Rabbi Pesach Frank, who had discussed this issue as well, though we don't hear exactly what he had said, they didn't mention that in the Shulchan Aruch it says that if it's grufa, that if it's the flame is covered over, we don't worry about hagasah, about stirring, and that's our custom. And therefore, he says he doesn't know why the fact that it's going to light afterwards should make a difference. That's this tshuva. So that's an interesting question of its own that came up in their times and our times about ovens that are currently off but that on a timer might come back on. Whether or not that changes, that makes issues of worries about Hagasah, the Ezra seems to have thought yes. And Shlomo Zalman seems to have thought no, as long as the flame was covered and as long as the food was either fully uncooked or was at least a machal ben drosai, in which case it's got the minimal halachic cooking for Shabbos purposes. Now, in the 11th of Menachem Av, and that's what brought me to the tshuva to help me find it, in the 11th of Av, in the same year, Tavshin Chet, 1948, Shlomo Zalman says, I also saw another one of your tshuvot from Tzitz Eliezer. This is from Tzitz Eliezer, the Chelek Gimel, the third volume of Tzitz Eliezer, Siman Yud Chet. He says, and I agree. Oh, I'm sorry. This is why I knew it so well. And I agree, he says, with the Ramban, that you're right, that the Ramban says that when we say that one can leave something on the fire, as long as the fire is covered, you don't have to worry about Hagasah, about stirring, that's only when it's going to continue cooking, when the fire is going to keep going. But if it's going to get cold in between, so if the oven's going to go on the next morning, so it's going to leave the food on overnight, let's say, or it's going to leave it on for 2 hours, and in 2 hours, it's going to turn on again and start cooking it, so then it'd have gotten fully cold in between. So he says, I agree, there you'll have a problem, because that's an issue. But in our case, he says he doesn't think it's such an issue because since we've said it's going to have been cooked by Chal Ben Drosai, then you get to another issue, which is that most poskim hold, for Shlomo Zalman points out, that once something is cooked to Machal Ben Drosai, then we say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. So Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is another important halachic concept that has can be applied in many ways, but also can be misused in many ways. But in the simplest case, if I take a piece of food, whatever that food is, and I cook it, right, and I cook it, and it's cooked, so halachically, if I cook it again, it doesn't count as cooking again. Now, that's complicated because the word cook in English means more things. It can include baking and frying and roasting. So all of those are issues. But let's, whatever cooking means in halacha, let's say something that's cooked. A simple example usually would be, let's say, a piece of chicken. I cook a piece of chicken, and then I cook it again, meaning I put it again in the oven, in an oven or on a fire or whatever. So whether or not that's allowed in rabbinic purposes, for rabbinic reasons, there might be, because they wrote, there might be takanot to Rabbanan, there might be rules to Rabbanan that don't allow us to do that, but I won't be cooking it on a d'oraita level because it was already cooked, and we paskin, we rule, most poskim rule, and we follow this halacha that ain bishul achar bishul. Shlomo Zalman points out, even when it comes to davar lach, even when it comes to liquid items. Here, we today practice the assumption that there is bishul, achar bishul, if it's tane and lagami, we've got it completely cold. So, for example, somebody had a soup, and they put the soup in the fridge, in the refrigerator, and it was cold overnight. Not only are there questions of whether you can put it back on the fire, but there we tend to assume that if somebody put it back on the fire and then cooked it, that that would be cooking, let alone all the other issues that come up with putting things back on the fire. But and certainly with dry foods, with foods like meats and roasts and even probably noodle kugels if they're compact kugels, those guys I think we tend to assume in bishul achar bishul. That's true. Rav Shlomo Zalman points out that for many people, once it's reached the stage of ma'achal ben drosai, once it's reached the stage of having been a third cook, we said, such that some people could find it edible as a cooked food, there, many poskim also think that the, on a Torah level, on a Doraita level, the issue of bishul achar bishul doesn't come up, and it's no longer open to the possibility of bishul achar bishul, and therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman thinks that the level of drabanan that might get involved would therefore change. When soup gets cold, completely cold, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, that's a chumra drabanan, that they said that you don't want to leave something on Shabbos from the beginning of Shabbos on a fire, and that wasn't because if they're worried about bishul d'oraita, because in terms of bishul d'oraita, he thinks there's no distinction between stan and the gamrei, or that it was cooked until yad so let it. And therefore, he says, in that situation, it might have been a question of a d'oraita about whether or not it was cooked yet, and therefore you'd have to be machmir in those situations. Meaning, if I'm leaving something on the fire, and then the worry is that maybe I'll do something to it that will make it cook more. And there the Rambam had held, and others had held with him, but a minority, that if it wasn't cooked until the point of yad to let it go, it wasn't fully cooked, that wouldn't be considered cooked yet, and therefore there would be bishul achar bishul problem. So if I took it off and it got fully cold and I was putting it back on, that might be the right issue, and therefore we might have to be machmir for that. But if we're worried, we're talking about the derabbanan rule of not stirring foods, of shema yagis, not even not stirring, the rule of being of avoiding certain things because we're worried one might stir it, so avoiding leaving a food on the fire because we're worried we'll stir it or turn it over in order to help it cook better. So that's, we're going to be now worried that maybe something will do something, but that something that somebody would be doing, the thing we might be worried that somebody might do, is itself a question because, after all, that food might be cooked, according to many authorities, already cooked, sort of ma'achal ben drosai, and therefore there's no bishul achar bishul problem. So there he thinks it's permissible to rely on the majority of postgim, and therefore to leave it on, and not to be worried about it. And he's not saying you're allowed to be magis because we're so sure those postgim are right that it's already fully mevushal. He's saying that when it comes to a derabanan of making sure to avoid the possibility of agasa, he thinks there we have enough room not to have to worry about it. He goes on to say, by the way, that he thinks all of this discussion might not be relevant because this Sefer Tiferet Yerushalayim had said that he thinks that all of the authorities agree with actually what's called with the third, there's the Ramban they're working off of, and they actually agree with the third answer of the Ramban. Third answer of the Ramban was that when we talk about Hagasa, about stirring or turning over, that was actually only a halacha that mattered for Seva. When in the time of the Gemara, when you wanted to make dyes, you would heat them, you would boil them, and there was a worry about stirring it to make sure the dye spread better, the dye would develop better, and things like that, but not about cooking issues. So Shlomo Zalman then says, and even though I don't know where he gets it from, nonetheless, we can say that everybody agrees at least to this as also being a teretz, as also being an answer, and then there's other answers that are given as well, and therefore that would mean that it's hagasa, the whole question of whether stirring itself is something that we're worried about, is a machlok, it is a matter of debate. And since we generally hold Tzvika the Rabbanon Kula, that when it comes to a suffix on a rabbinic issue, we paskin according to the lenient authorities, it seems to him, to Shlomo Zalman, that we have room to be makel here, we should be makel here, since the Shulchan Aruch also was explicitly makel, and we don't need to find a new Rabbanon, new Ma'achumra in the Rabbanon because of a suffix. Once on the topic, he brings up the whole question of why it is that stirring something or turning it over is a problem, even while it's on the fire. He calls a sefer called Shvitas HaShabbat, or Shvitas HaShabbos, which talks about issues, obviously, of resting on Shabbos and how to keep Shabbos properly. He gave two reasons for the Isser of Hagasa, for the prohibition of stirring. And Shlomo Zalman points out that the second of those reasons, that maybe there are pieces of food in this mixture that haven't really been fully cooked, or minimally cooked even, and then if the person turns it over or stirs it, it'll break apart, and those pieces will get cooked. So that would mean that the worry is that by my act of stirring, I'm actually creating cooking on Shabbos, because I've got stuff that wasn't cooked and not going to be cooked. So that would mean, Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, that let's say somebody took a piece of, took a pot off the flame, still holding on to it. The halacha generally is that if something's on the flame and I need to stir it or take something out of it, is really what I mean. I need to take something out of it. The recommended way of doing it is taking it off the flame, holding it while it's off the flame, and taking the stuff out of it. So Shlomo Zalman says, but let's suppose if that's true, somebody took something off the flame and then they stirred it, it should be prohibited to put it back, because if the Shvitat HaShabbat is right, that we're worried that there were parts of food that hadn't been cooked yet, and now I've stirred it, then maybe they could have started cooking. So while they're off the flame, it's one issue. But if I put it back on the flame, it would certainly be making it possible for that to cook. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says, we've never heard such a thing. Umi alam lo nishma kazot. Therefore, he thinks that that can't be the right answer. And first answer is that it's midark habishul. It looks too much like cooking. When we stir things up, it looks like we're helping the cooking process. And he says that would seem to be then, if that's the right answer, that would seem to be like a full stirring. I stick the ladle or the spoon in the pot and I turn it around, or I move the pot such that I shake the pot such that things get really, really well mixed up. But if I'm in the middle of pouring something out, or taking some food out, or I just move it a little bit, he says that doesn't seem to be real hagasa. And he doesn't seem to think there's any worry about that kind of hagasa, and he doesn't think we should add isurim, add prohibitions to the chumrot we already have in terms of cooking on Shabbos. And therefore, on the essential matter at hand, he says that there's a kolbo that seemed to have said that stirring things on Shabbos while it's on the fire is clearly a prohibition to oraita, and Rosh Hashanah says it can't be right. It's got to be that it meant to Rabbanan, and that the prohibition he thinks is that it's got to be, for example, if we have people who are allowed to take food off and then put it back on Shabbos, or take it from a smaller flame to a higher flame, so in those situations, people would check to be sure that everything's cooked the right way. They're cooked fully and completely cooked. But he thinks what happens is that if it's just a stirring, people don't realize that that can be related to cooking, and therefore they'll make a mistake and they'll think that even before it's fully cooked, that you're allowed to stir it. So that's where the whole Hagasa idea comes from. He thinks that the problem with Hagasa is mainly when foods are not yet cooked. By stirring it, I'm helping the cooking process go along, and therefore I'm involved in the cooking process and Shabbos, and therefore that's a Torah prohibition. And that's where all these rules of stirring came to be, but there are limits to them, as we just saw. And then the final piece in this discussion that he had with, second to final piece, the discussion with Rav Shlomo Zalman, with Tzitz Eliezer, is about the halacha of Kedera Chaita. Kedera Chaita, let's remember, is the halacha says that if there's food that's completely raw and that you put it on the flame just before Shabbos, that will be allowed. And the reason why that will be allowed, it seems in the Gemara, is that we don't have any worry that the person will attempt to make it cook faster, because he clearly knows that it won't be ready that night. And therefore, we'll leave it, because overnight, it will for sure get cooked. The common example of that would be, there are people who want to put up a chilant, they want to put it up just before Shabbos. If it's just started cooking, that's a problem of whether we're allowed to leave it on the flame over Shabbos. If it's cooked in Machal Ben Drosai, all of it, that would seem to be okay. But many times people don't want to do that. And so what they do instead is they throw in some raw meat. And this seems to be allowed, and I'm not we're not going to change that, but they throw in some raw meat. But the underlying reason behind that is that we therefore don't have to worry that they'll try to tend to it over the course of the night, over the course of Shabbat, because they don't expect it to be ready the next day, yeah, until the next day, and therefore they'll leave it because overnight there's plenty of time. Now, Eliezer had suggested that maybe if it's going to be ready that night, you could still do it. So Shlomo Zalman says, when it comes to food that's kederach chayta, it's raw now, but the plan is to eat it that night. Maybe he thinks the Mishnah Brewer is right, who said in the Be'er Halacha that it's asr. And the Chazon Ish, he notes in a parenthesis, the Chazon Ish said it was mutter, and he doesn't understand why that would be. And as I write this, I would just point out, this is 1948, and the Mishnah Brewer came out in the late 1800s, so it's basically a half a century. It's a generation or two, right? Shlomo Zalman never met the Chafetz Chaim, but he was alive with him. Shlomo Zalman was born in 1910. Chafetz Chaim lived an extraordinarily long life. He passed away in 1933, but that means Shlomo Zalman was 23. So this is a sefer that a person of basically the previous generation had written. And the Chazon Ish, Shlomo Zalman has interactions with the Chazon Ish as a young man. So these are people he knows. I grew up and they both passed away by the time I was born. So for me, they were that distant. And ever hearing about them, they were just had that aura of being so distant. But these are live, active, real people for both Shlomo Zalman and the Tzitz Eliezer. So he rules, he thinks that you have to be machmir in this situation. He doesn't understand why the Chazon Ish is mutter. And the reason, he says, is that the whole reason of throwing in something raw was that it reveals, it's a gilui dat, that he plans to have it only tomorrow. And the reason that having it only tomorrow makes it okay is because you won't do anything to try to enhance the cooking of the process. He says, but if the people plan to use it that night, there are plenty of ovens that you can have where you can take food that's raw, and you can put the flame such that by the time the meal comes, it'll be fully cooked and fully ready, and that will get around the whole point that there was in the Gemara, meaning the Gemara didn't like the idea of leaving foods on the fire uncovered and in the process of cooking, because the Gemara was worried that maybe you'd stir it, turn it over, you would try to tend to it to help the cooking process along. So Shlomo Zalman says, so if that's true, then even if you put it in raw, meaning, we have ovens today that can cook a steak in 20 minutes. So if somebody puts in the steak just before Shabbos, and then they're looking at it over the course of Shabbos, that's going to get around the whole reason for the Gzeirah D'Rabbanan of Kederach Chayta. The point of Kederach Chayta was, I put in something raw because I'm declaring, and it's clearly true, that I'm not going to be worried about it cooking because it's not going to be ready that night anyway. So Shlomo Zalman says he thinks you can't use it that night. If you're going to use it that night, then you can't use the kula of Kederach Chayta, because then you can just adjust the flame such that it'll be ready that night, and therefore it'll get rid of the whole Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, and he thinks, therefore, you're not allowed to do it. Then, when it comes to deciding when it is that we have to know that it's machal ben drosai or not, we have to know how cooked it is in terms of these questions, he says the divine line is shkia. The divine line is sunset. The reason why that's irrelevant and important is that there was somebody else who had claimed, it was a sefer called Toldot Shmuel, and the Toldot Shmuel had said that it depends when the person accepts Shabbos. And so Shlomo Zalman has one way in which he's willing to concede the possibility to this other fellow, but it means, let's say, in the summer, if Shabbos doesn't start till 8:30, and I'm going to accept Shabbos at Plag, let's say, at 6:30 or 6:45 or 7, which is very common. So many people would have assumed, and this Sefer Toldot Shmuel assumed, that that would mean that the cooking issues that come up, so there's all sorts of issues, but when the flame has to be covered, when it doesn't, when I have to have it cooked a certain amount, so he said, it's either raw and then you don't use it that night, or it's already cooked machal ben drosai, it's already cooked a third by the time Shabbos arrives and therefore I don't have a problem. But all those standards, Shlomo Zalman seems to be saying, should be standards that apply when Shkia actually happens, not when this person happens to accept Shabbat. Now that's an interesting claim, because if the issue is that the person might do things that are wrong on Shabbat, I might have thought, as the Tolish rule says, that that person, that the Shabbat, it counting as Shabbat for that person would be the relevant consideration. Shlomo Zalman seems not to think so. He says it very briefly. He doesn't explain fully. He says it's clear to him that it should be about Shkia. I think he means, because that's when real prohibitions of Shabbat come into play, except that I don't know quite what he means, because I don't think he would say, well, I guess what he's saying is that since the person violating Shabbat earlier, if they accept the Shabbat earlier, is only a problem for that person because of their acceptance, that the gzerot of Chazal, that the decrees of Chazal to try to protect from cooking on Shabbos, don't come into play. So that while, yes, this person can't do any Shabbos violations, the whole rabbinic prohibitions, the rabbinic issues that come up, don't come into play yet. Perhaps that's what he meant, but he's, again, writes it very briefly. One exception he does make that he's willing to consider is that if you have a place where the whole community accepts Shabbos at a certain time, so he thinks maybe that would be the time that you'd have to worry about. That would be Samuch Lebarachu. Now, the question of what the whole community is would be an interesting one. I used to know of a shul that had three different minyanim on Friday nights in the summer. They had a plag minyan, they had a 7 o'clock minyan, they had a regular, shkia minyan that went by sunset, and they would announce a candle lighting time for each minyan. I never understood what that meant, but maybe you could say that Rav Shlomo Zalman is pointing out that if the whole community is accepting Shabbos, you have to follow that in some way, and that's where all this would come into play. Maybe. But in any case, he's not so clear about it. Okay? Then, now, the last piece in this particular discussion for the 11th of Av with the Tzitz Eliezer, he talks about what if a fire went out under some food, and the person wants to take it to another place, another fire. There's another fire lit with a blech on or whatever, but this fire went out and he wants to move it. So the problem is, if you're going to treat this as a question of chazara, so the usual rules for chazara of returning food onto the fire have to do with whether the person always had it in mind. Like I mentioned before, if you take a pot off the oven, you want to be able to put it back, we generally say you have to hold it in your hand. There's some hold, you shouldn't ever put it on the ground, you have to be held in your hand, and you have to be holding it, you have to have your mind on it the whole time. But here, let's say I don't realize the fire went out, and by the time I realize the fire went out, the food might even have gotten a little bit not fully hot anymore. So clearly I didn't have in mind or anything, I didn't have my intention to it, so I would have thought maybe I can't do that. So Shlomo Zalman says, no, he thinks it's more similar too. Nobody would say that if you're holding the pot in your hand and you mean to put it back on the fire and you drop it and it drops on the floor, nobody would say that by virtue of the fact that it touched the ground that you can't put it back anymore. He says that's obviously not true, because the whole point of putting it on the ground is that you left it there, you intended to leave it there, you didn't think of it anymore, and therefore that's a problem of chazara, putting it back. But where one has taken it off and it's holding it the whole time, that's not considered chazara, that's not considered returning to the fire. Therefore, too, Rav Moshe Shlomo Zalman says he thinks that the fire going out is more like having dropped it by accident, because he never wanted it to drop. He never wanted it to cool off at all. And therefore, and so too, if you took it off the fire and then you're planning on putting it back and then the fire went out, in all these situations, Shlomo Zalman says he thinks that you can move it. If you have another fire ready, you can move it to the other fire right away. And that would be true here as well, because there was never any forgetting about it, never ever leaving it. So there's actually much more to this tshuva, but I can't start a new one of the topics that it brings up, because it'll take too long for our time today. And so what we have is, what we saw was some of his discussion with the Tzitz Eliezer about some of the issues of leaving food on the fire on Shabbat and how we deal with food on the fire on Shabbat. The first was the question of leaving food on an oven or on a hot plate that's going to only get hot, only going to light, be lit, only going to turn on the course of Shabbat. Tzitz Eliezer thought there was a problem there of hagasah, there was a problem there of the worry of stirring, and therefore you couldn't do it even if it was already cooked ma'achal ben drosai, which therefore would mean that there's no bishul achar bishul problem, that there's not a re-cooking problem, because we don't think, because most authorities think that once food is cooked ma'achal ben drosai, there's no re-cooking problem, or if it's completely raw, because then there's also not generally the problem of worry that the person's going to try to make it cook faster. Shlomo Zalman thought that in those situations, we don't have a hagasa problem at all. We don't worry about stirring. And the fact that the oven is not on now shouldn't be a difference, shouldn't be an issue. Part of Tzitz's response was that no, we think that if food gets completely cold, that will be the issue. And here, where we said that it's okay is where it's going to be under continuous heating. So that's why we don't have to worry about hagasa. But here, where it's going to get cold because the oven's not going to turn on yet, there would be more room to say that you have a problem, but Shlomo Zalman thought there wasn't. Then there was a question, so he didn't think the fact that the oven wasn't lit was a problem. Then there was the question of remembering the whole idea of bishul achar bishul, of whether foods can be considered recooked on Shabbos for dry foods or for liquid foods. Question of what stirring was, the problem was with stirring in terms of maybe there's food that's not cooked in there and then we have to worry about it. Question of raw foods not being allowed to be eaten that night because that completely circumvents the reason why those foods were allowed to be used as part of the cooking process. And then our final piece that we had, the question of if the fire went out and being able to move it. So these are some of the issues that Shlomo Zalman Auerbach raised in terms of heating food on Shabbat or leaving food on the fire on Shabbat. And that is a response of a day for the 11th of Av, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach on heating food. Have a great day.